welcome to the Business Success Club. I want to say welcome, and you are in for a treat in this group. Hey, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. And on this podcast, what we really want to establish is this: how do hardworking entrepreneurs build profitable and scalable businesses whilst having the freedom and balance to do the other things they love, like family, vacations, sports, fun, adventures, and charity? So let's tune into today's podcast. Hello and welcome to the Business Success Show with me, Mac Attram. And I have an amazing interviewee, this person. This person's an expert. In a moment, I'm going to be bringing him on. And as you know, at the Business Success Show, we like to explore this question: how can hardworking entrepreneurs build profitable and scalable businesses whilst having the freedom and the balance to do the other things that they enjoy, like family, like sports, like fun, like adventures, like vacations, like charity? And as I always say, there is more to life than just the daily hustle and grind. And plus, if you're not part of our Facebook community, make sure you do get enrolled in our Facebook community, which is simply Business Success Club on Facebook. So Business Success Club on Facebook. So without any further ado, let me introduce our special guest today. His name is Derek Mills. And Derek Mills, the reason why I wanted to speak to him, because he shares something very specific and he teaches something very specific, which I know I've also had to adopt into my own life to improve what I've done many, many years ago. Now, Derek Mills did things very differently, coming from struggling and failing and turning all that around. He discovered the truth of what it takes to have an incredible life and an incredible business. Now, you may not know that he also works with a number of FTSE 100 companies, business owners, entrepreneurs, and global organizations. Now, Derek is the author of the 10-Second Philosophy, which was published by Hay House. He's the creator and power behind dailystandards.com. You are in for a treat. In this particular interview, I want you to take note and listen to exactly what he's saying, because if you want to have an extraordinary life, you've got to listen to what this man's got to say. So Derek, over to you. Derek, tell us a little bit about you, what you do today. Let's start with that, I think.
Okay, Matt, thank you very much for having me on your show. It's great to have this chat with you. I want to just start, though, by reiterating what you've just said, which is that I just really encourage people to pay attention. To pay attention to the words, thoughts, questions, phrases, and ideas that come through our conversation. And the words, thoughts, questions, phrases, and ideas that come from the conversation may come from you or from me, or the things that we say or ask may stimulate a word, thought, phrase, question, or idea within the listener or the watcher. I want to just encourage you to begin and set your mindset at the beginning of this to say, okay, pay attention and listen out for those words, thoughts, questions, phrase, and idea. And whatever resonates with you is to take note. Begin by taking note, and you can decide what you do with that later, or you might decide in the moment. Yeah. So the most important thing for me is that a few words changed the whole of my life. I was the guy, I'd been working 6 days a week, late at night, not seeing my family, driving all over the country, trying to get business in my self-employed financial services business, doing that for 17 years. So you can't call me a quitter. At the same time, though, you can't say I didn't persist. I've read Napoleon Hill, of course, and the All About Think and Grow Rich. So I had those qualities, but boy, I couldn't make it work. Depressed and broken, struggling month after month to pay the bills, and sometimes robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm not exaggerating, not paying one person so you could pay another.
Wow.
And on this journey, I was trying to do what I thought other people would have me be. I listened to some of the experts, listened to people in my profession, listened to colleagues, and just tried to do that and do that. And in the end, I realized it's just about what's my truth. And if I could reveal my truth and get that into the world, then things surely must change. most importantly, along all that journey of desperation and financial issues, I wasn't even happy because I wasn't me.
Right.
And if you're a business person, you may or may not understand this, but this is my story. I didn't feel like me. I kind of knew intuitively that life I was leading, that it really wasn't me. I knew there was something more to me in my life. And that's what happens. A simple few words one night changed everything for me. So for those that don't know my story, a few years ago, there was a security guard came into the office to lock up the building. And he always did this. And I was pretty much 90 times out of 100 the last person in the building. So he always come to my office to say, ready to go? And it was always a different security guard because it was like we worked on a commercial estate. This guy comes in and he said to me, you know, time to go, kind of look up. And I've been shuffling bits of paper, Mac, and just, you know, who do I call today? Where am I going to go tomorrow? Who am I going to see? Where's the next bit of business going to come from? Not for profit. Some of you will understand this. Not for profit, just for cash flow. Just get a bit of money in to, so I could move it around again. And as I was shuffling these bits of paper, it's about 9:30 at night, approaching 9:45. And this office guard said to me, time to lock up. I said, just give me 10 more minutes. And then he said, fine. And he walked away and I was shuffling more paper and I was standing by this filing cabinet and looking at who would I call, where's the next bit of business going to come from. And then he came back and I said, just give me 2 more minutes, please. And he said, what time did you get in this morning? Mm. And that was the question that changed everything that led me here with you, Mac, today.
Wow.
Because I listened to that question, you know, I don't know what God was doing with me at that moment, but it certainly made me stop. It certainly made me consider the life I was leading.
We're living.
But then this life really didn't feel like it was my life. And I thought, I said to the security guard, I came in at 8:00. Mm. He walked away. My words just hung in the air because I've been up since 6, on the road at 7, in at 8. It was now approaching 9:45 in the evening. And I've been doing this not for a week, not for months, but for years, for most of the life of my children at that point.
So working these 10 to 12 hour days very early on in your career, constantly 6 to 7 days a week, nonstop. And now before we go on, let me say this. For those of you who don't know who Derek Mills is, he is, can I say, you advise high net worth individuals, millionaires, multi-millionaires.
Right.
Okay, good. So you need to understand this because he came from a place where he was struggling. He was broke. Things weren't going right. He was underperforming in his role or in his business as a financial advisor. Learning some secrets, he was able to change all those things around. Now listen to the story, because this is a gentleman who is also involved in the Think movie. You may have heard of Think and Grow Rich. This is the gentleman who deals with high net individuals. So there's some secrets that you must hear. Go ahead with the story there.
Okay, thanks for that, Mac, because I think I sometimes forget when we tell our story that people haven't lived it with you.
True.
So they have no idea, you know, who we are and what we've been through. But isn't that a lesson for all of us? That when we hear someone, to really remember that they've been through a journey, they've been through stuff, that we may not have had the same journey, but they've been through stuff. So it's okay to look at me now. Yeah, you know, it's very clear. It's already out there. It's in my book, kind of multimillionaires, millionaire years ago. Yeah. And then I've built upon that wealth and just built and built, but also in many ways, because there's more than one way to be wealthy, I'm sure. I hope people understand that. But what I did, you see, is I began to recognize in that moment that, yes, I've been working all these hours, but it wasn't me. It wasn't how I should be doing things. And I had what's called the 10-second moment, just when the office security guard went away. And I realized, you know what? This isn't my life. I remember standing by that filing cabinet, holding the top of the drawer, and I just got the drawer, and I just slammed it. And I said, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. And the question we've got to ask ourselves at times is, what have we just had enough of in our lives, in our businesses? Because it was in that moment of just had enough of this that I changed. Because in that moment, I still call it the 10-second moments, even now. I'd have this kind of rush of thoughts and feelings and realizations and truths that, hey, I've been setting goals for 17 years, but here I am. I'm still broken, depressed. Well, what's that all about? How come that hasn't worked? In fact, that works for very few people, far as I know. And this life isn't even mine. And what am I doing here? And I've been trying to be this person that wasn't me, instead of trying to reveal my true self and being that person. From now on, I'm going to be just me. I'm going to be my true self. I'm going to stop setting any more goals. I know most of the world doesn't say that, but that moment I was saying, stop setting any more goals and work on the values, the ideas, what I realized there was what's called a thing called standards, daily standards.
Okay, before you go on to that, daily standards, I like what we said, you just, in case people missed it, you said, I think you hinted at the fact that you were setting goals. You had ambitions. You had aspirations. You had big dreams. But in that moment, things weren't working. And enough was enough, right?
Yeah. Mac, I can tell you now, and I'm not alone in this, that we did some research just after my book came out, and with a PR company. And they looked at North America, and they worked out that about 3% of people achieve their goals. I just thought, hold on. How can it be, Matt, that if most people in most places, most of the time, miss their goals, surely there's something we've got to look at here. I realized that later, once I'd written the book and all the rest of it and the worldwide stuff was happening for me. But in that moment, I already knew that there was something missing.
Yeah.
And when you are willing to accept there's something missing and you just hold that space for a while, what often comes up is the solution. Okay, so what about having a look at this? Mm. Are you willing to have a look at what comes up for you? So what came up for me was simple. Start living by daily standards, as in daily standards set from within, not goals set from without. And I'll come back to that in the conversation, I'm sure we will. But a daily standard at that time and now meant for me, there's a way of being for me that's best for me. And that way of being that's best for me also allows me to be the best for the world, for the best in the world, the best for my family, the best for my community, if I stick to those truths, those ways for me. Right. So what is that? So when I broke it down, I realized a daily standard was a basis, criterion, level, quality, or rule. Basis, criterion, level, quality, or rule that you set from within. So it's your truth, whether it's you or your business, and you commit to living at and being at just for today, just one day at a time, just for today. So the key difference with the daily standard is it's saying, go within and discover your truth.
Right.
The rules, the basis, the criterion, the levels, the qualities, and just be that just for today. Forget the future goals. The future isn't even assured. You don't even know you've got a future. You know, I lost my mom when she was 37 years old, leaving behind 7 kids. You know, if she had goals, I'm sure she did like most people did, but she didn't get to experience those goals. So I'm very much focused on being you today, the best you. A daily standard gets you to commit to be your best self with the right rules, criteria, the basis, the qualities, the levels for you and your business today. And that might sound a bit weird, but I do mean today. Until you go back to bed at midnight tonight and put your head behind your pillow, live your truth and stick to your standards just for today, and then one day at a time, long enough to see what would happen if you did. And there's a lot there, so we need to unpack this, but the idea is that it's, instead of having goals from outside of you, which are future-based, you're talking about living by daily standards from inside of you, and you live with them and you be them just for today. So no pressure about this 3-year, 20-year plan, 12-year, 12-month goal. You know, look at, I've got, I'm a Christian, and I refer back to the New Testament, and Christ, 2,000 years ago, you know, he said, we were taught this prayer, now when I was at school, the Lord's Prayer. In the middle of that prayer, it said 4 words, give us this day.
Give us this day, yeah.
Give us this day, that's what he said. He didn't say give us this week, or this month, or this 3-year business plan, or this 20-year program. He said give us this day.
True.
And I think he said what he meant, and he meant what he said, you know, Son of God and all that.
Yeah.
So I believe that if we stick and be our best in the day, how could it not be that our greatest futures are created?
Indeed. So I want to hear more about the daily standards. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the to the Business Success Show here. I'm with Derek Mills. We're talking about daily standards and how our daily standards affect our future aspirations and dreams and goals. And it all starts from within, not from without, not external, starts from within. A lot of people focus on goals and hitting their goals and hitting their targets. But where does that come from? And what Derek is sharing with us, it comes from within. And so, Derek, a lot of our listeners are business owners and they work hard and they do want to have a nice lifestyle. They have dreams, they have aspirations. Can you share with us how these daily standards, you call them, can actually make a significant difference to them, which it has for you from the moment you said enough is enough, something needs to change, and somehow you were blessed with this intuition that it's got to be daily standards. What am I doing today? What am I doing in terms of my rules, in terms of the standards, all this stuff you said. So how can someone utilize that? Where's the starting point?
Well, the starting point for me back then, and I should be for everybody now, is the most important areas of your life. Consider which of the areas are frustrating you the most or causing the most issues or the most angst, because they're the ones where, hey, that's not a good place to be. And at the same time, they're the ones you're probably more inclined to do something about, rather than, I'd like to achieve that, really, but this is causing me pain. This is causing me pain. I want to do something about this. Yeah. I'd like to do that. Might do something about that one day when the sun aligns, and everything's just sorted out. So what I began to do back then, Mac, that night, that very night, I took action. Take action. Really simple. Immediately, you get an inspiration, take action, because you might die or wither on the vine if you don't.
Yeah.
So I looked at the areas of my life and I refined that to the seven key areas of my life. But actually, because I was a sole trading businessman, I found that there's a relationship between my personal and my business, and it has to be, because I'm in the middle of that. So I began to look at my life first. And if anyone listening right now has got a moment, I would just grab a pen or grab your device and make a note of the areas to begin to review. If you want something practical, because my book is a practical guide to receiving, and releasing really genius, not just a philosophy. So how do we do this then? So if in that last kind of 10, 15 seconds, you've grabbed your pen or you've got your iPad on, there are seven areas we need to pay attention to, both in our personal and in our business.
Right.
So in our personal life, it's paying attention and reviewing our existing standards. And that will catch some people out because they're going to go, well, what are my existing standards?
True.
And that's the point. Yeah. What are your existing standards in these areas? Because if you haven't got them, that means you're running them some unconscious way and you don't even know whether they're still serving you. Oh, I've always done that. Really? Well, that was good when you were 27, when you first started your business, and you've kept it now. Now you're 47 and your business is different. But you're doing the same standards before. Let's begin. If it's your person, if it's you and your family and your life that you're concerned about, which is where I began, it's your personal health and fitness. Review your daily standards, the rules, the criteria, the levels, the qualities that you have around your personal health and fitness. Secondly, is to look at the environment. That's what's happening around you and what's happening inside of you. So what's around you? What are you listening to? What are you paying attention to? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? And internally, how you manage your internal philosophy and psychology, that's whether it serves you or drags you down. These are things you can all change.
Right.
Use the standard. Relationships is the next. So it's P-E-R, personal health and fitness, environment, relationships. Then there's F-E-C-T. F-E-C-T is family. Family standards are vital. The time, knowing that children spell love, T-I-M-E. If you're not there in the morning, you're not there in the evening, and those are your standards, how's that going to serve you and your husband or you and your wife going forward? Right. You've got to feel that rather than just think about it. Yeah. So that family thing, then you've got your emotions, how you manage our emotions. And other people out there that understand this, they've got to be trained to know that your emotions really drive you or don't drive you. They're taking a direction or away from a direction. So how do you manage your emotions? And then do you have standard responses to things that happen? Right. Well, Derek, if that happened to you, you'd be angry as well. If that happened to you, you'd be frustrated. Would I really? Okay. I may have let that happen, but I'm choosing a different response. I'm not a Pavlovian dog. I'm choosing to respond differently with my emotions and resetting the standard compared to what I used to do, be and respond. Then there's career, for the, which is the C is career, and then there's how it's about you and your job and how you do things. That was a, along with family, that was a big one for me. I set some new standards back then and now even tighter because I review them. Yeah. You know, no more working weekends, no evening appointments, taking my kids to school in the morning, 2-3 times a week, picking them up, having Fridays off, half day on a Wednesday, and the clients must come to me. No more driving around the country, seeing clients crashing my car 1 year ago, so tired, just trying to get home. It's about looking at my career and your job. And if you're self-employed, if you're an SME or you're a corporate, you can decide to shift around the standards, which hitherto may not have served you. Or if they served you in the past, it's about having a review to say, but do they serve me now? And do they allow me to serve others? So career, job, business, it's a big chunk, but if you have the areas, you can begin the work. Remember that night, that dark night, November the 11th, but that night, oh my gosh.
How many years ago was that?
November the 11th today.
yes, you're absolutely right.
17 years ago. 2 nights.
Wow.
I've gone off track there because I've realised, so November the 11th, 2003, I had this realisation and I changed all the standards about my career, my job, who I'd see, when I'd see them, must come to the office, change all the standards, even who could become a client. Bear in mind, I was struggling in my business.
Yeah.
The struggle in my business was not as great as the personal struggle I was having, not being there as a son, not being there as a father, not being there as a husband, not being there as a friend, not being there in my own life. Meant much more to me. So I was happy to go backwards a bit in order to go forwards an awful lot. So career, review those standards. And the last one is time and money. We could just do a show just on that one. Your wealth is determined by your money standards and so is your poverty. I'm sorry to say that in this part of the world, in a free society, your wealth is determined by your money standards and so is your poverty. Different if you're living somewhere else in other parts of the world.
Can you explain that? What does that mean? Your wealth is determined by your money standards.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It means you want to be a millionaire.
Uh-huh.
So you get your income and you spend it all.
Right.
But you want to be a millionaire. And you watch all the videos and you've got your people that you follow and you... And then you get your credit card and you buy stuff on credit.
Right.
Stuff to invest in terms of your future and your well-being, but stuff, the newest gadget, stuff. You associate with people who do similar things. So you know you're going to find it difficult to break out of that. That's another standard, those relationships. Yeah. My father used to tell us as kids, drop the bad company. And he also said, let's keep good company. So looking at money, if you want to be a millionaire, and so many people do, but you look at your money and you spend all your money, you don't save, you don't invest anything, you keep buying trinkets, which you know you buy them for £300 and you know damn well that in a year or two be worth a tenner, try and sell it on Facebook Marketplace and prove it to yourself. You buy this stuff that it means nothing and doesn't build you. Whereas you then talk to millionaires, and I've done something like 18,000 face-to-face interviews in my career, 18,000 of them. Well, it's about 18,000 a few years. It's probably a lot more now. Right. In that time, I've been interviewing these non-millionaires and millionaires and multimillionaires. Yeah. They do different things with their money in terms of how they think. They think about investing first. They think about what they can keep rather than what they can spend first. They buy assets that produce income rather than buying stuff. Because they can buy stuff later when the assets that they buy produce income.
Right.
That they can buy the stuff. Yeah. If you've got an apple tree in your garden, well done. Nurture the apple tree, develop it, feed it, prune it where you need to. It will produce fruit. You can eat the fruit. Don't try and eat the tree.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love what you're saying there, Derek. Derek, I think at one point you're describing my life, you know. I was a spender, and I remember up to my early 30s, it was very much that. A lot of liabilities, credit cards, loans. I was in debt, over $100,000 in debt. And what you just said there was rich people, wealthy people, millionaires, multimillionaires, focus on acquiring assets. And it's, for me, it was a big lesson. It was a slap in the face that, oh, who am I surrounding myself with? Who am I learning from? Who am I following? At that time, there was no one around me who was wealthy or millionaires. And I decided that I'm going to study this and change my life around from being broke. And within 2 years, I was able to do that, fix that situation, invest heavily in real estate, property, and other businesses, and in less than 3 years became a multimillionaire. So I agree exactly with what you are saying. And that was all done, yeah, by my mid-30s. So guys, if you're listening, this is someone who's actually lived it and he's taught thousands of people how to turn their situations around, and he's created thousands of millionaires as well through wealth management. So what he's saying is not theory. This is real. I've lived it. He's lived it. He's taught other people to live it as well. And it all starts from your... So I did press on what is money? What is the money standards? Your wealth is your money standards. What does that mean? So I'm glad you've explained it that way, because otherwise we would have missed it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you caught me on that, because you know what? We can't do this every single day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it is. However, the recognition that back in the day, even though I was working as a financial advisor prior to 17 years ago, that essentially I was, because I was struggling with the business, I was in the same trap. I was having to borrow, the card, the overdraft, loan, finance on this, just to get through because I was struggling in the business. What I didn't realize was that inside of me, there was so much more than that struggle.
Right.
Inside of each of us, there's so much more than that struggle. Let me explain something. If you look at my life now, it wasn't just what I did with my money, it was a shift in mindset. Because right now, I get excited about investing. I get excited about saving. I'm not, but to me, in case someone's listening, I'm not saying yes, I'm like that guy, Scrooge, counting his money. I'm just saying, it gives me a thrill to go, yeah, there's more money put away. Because I've got children, God willing, one day I'll have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-grandchildren. I'm creating legacy. So I'm doing this now. I'm getting excited about creating legacy.
Oh.
In the past, I was getting down about just paying bills and getting through the month. Can you see the difference in the energy? Yeah. It's kind of, there's a huge shift there. So the things I'm showing is you get your philosophy right. Because if your philosophy isn't right, you're not likely to produce the right things. So an example of that would be you get a seed, a sunflower seed, and you throw it on the soil. Chances of anything happening with that is unlikely, because the soil wasn't prepared. You see, the seed knows what it is.
Mm.
The seed will articulate itself when the environment is right.
Right.
Yeah? You have, your wealth is like a seed. It will articulate itself when the environment is right. We have to dig the soil, aerate the soil, add nutrients, water the soil, even put a little lollipop stick in the soil, so when the thing comes up, it's got a bit of a support, because it will get the winds, it will get those trade winds, it will get hassle, it will get pushed, it will be challenged, it will be questioned.
Right.
It has a support stick, and then you, as it grows and grows, it comes through, and it sticks, it's got a path to go along. So this is the same with our wealth. We have to do this. See, if you get a seed, and you ever think about it, that every one of us right now is a genius, and I'll talk about that in a second. Every one of us is a genius. Everyone listening is a genius. But if you don't allow that genius to articulate itself, you may die with the genius that you came with. Yeah. So really about preparing and being ready, so the stuff that's inside of you comes out, because the sunflower seed in the drawer in your kitchen remains just a seed with potential in the drawer in your kitchen. Have you never thought about this, that when you put that seed in the soil and you prepare and you nurture and you water, that seed, it's as if it always knew what it could be.
Right.
And it becomes a 6-foot sunflower seed with 1,000 seeds in it, each producing 1,000 of their own, an infinite amount of wealth from a seed that was otherwise stuck in a drawer for 3-4 years, doing absolutely nothing. Well, that's us. That's our genius. Yeah, because right now I've executive produced award-winning film. I've been in film. I was asked to be one of the stars in the Think and Grow Rich movie, which was, as you, I'm sure you know, Matt, that's an incredible honor.
Yeah, as it, very good.
Because I read the book when I was 20, 21, and tried to study it. Years later, I'm getting a call from LA saying, we like your background, your story, daily standards. We think, you know, and made in association with the foundation, Napoleon Hill Foundation, and we think that the way you explain daily standards can help people to achieve their goals. And I said, that's right. You know, and because I produce film, become a coach, become a mentor, professional speaker. I was a stutterer all of my life. Now I'm a professional speaker. So I began to coach and to write, best-selling author. Into my office come multimillionaires week in, week out, seeking advice in terms of what to do, how to strategize with their money, their portfolios, their funds. How can it be that the young lad, the stuttering lad, that couldn't pay his bills, can turn that around? And here's the answer. All of those lean years, I was a genius. I was a genius all of that time. Yeah. It just didn't come out yet. And so is everyone listening to this, that whatever business that you're in, everyone listening to this has got a genius. What you have to do is allow that, prepare the soil, set the standards, live from our truth, and allow that to articulate to come out into the world. It's already there. I'm sorry for the length of that answer.
That's good. It's great answer.
Just be, this is what it is. It's what it's meant to me.
Yeah.
It's everything. You know, apart from my faith, it's really right up there.
And I do get it. It's fantastic. It's great the way you put it. You know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and then I started thinking about some of my clients in the past who their answer has been, but it's okay for you, Mac, you're disciplined. It's okay for you, Mac, you're a martial artist. It's okay for you, Mac, you've created all of this. But I'm, and then when I listen to them, I say, but my life wasn't always that way. There were some things that I had to do and change in order for that to happen. So what do you say to the people who say, well, you know, I'm too busy to, because you talk about personal standards, and I'm loving it because you talk about your personal existing standards, you talk about emotional standards, relationship standards, career standards, all these things and more. I'm sure I missed a couple, two or three there. The where does someone start then? And when their excuse is very much, I can't because. What's the answer with that?
Well, you know, I understand it. I understand. Because for most of the years when I was not me, I couldn't. Trying to, you know. I know Yoda says there is no try, but I was trying to, you know. And just trying different things, reading the program, listening to Tony Robbins, doing this, going on that. I was like, come on. Couldn't catch a break for love of the money. When I had a break, they disappeared. And it was like, it didn't happen. So I understand is the first thing. We can't ignore that because it's real. But people think they can't, and they've got their becauses. But all I can say to you is that I can't live your life, but I can share with you that every single one of us has to find a way of getting over or around or through that because there's amazing stuff on the other side of that because there's brilliance on the other side of that because there's life and happiness for you on the other side. I'm not clever enough. I'm not an academic. You know, I'm the guy that knows what I've done. But I also know how you feel when you say I can't because what I realized back then, and I realize the same now, is that the issue of my family, time with loved ones, making a difference in this world, leaving a legacy became so important to me. It became stronger than any because. It became because my cause became stronger than any because.
Got it.
And I think that, and one of the things I did, Mac, and I encourage anyone to do this, is keep a journal. I know that you do. I mean, you've got to ask. Yeah. Just keep a journal because going through all those struggling years from I was late teens all the way through.
It's here. You know what? Yeah, every, it changes there you go. Every few months, every few years, it all changes. Yeah. Writing in there. Yeah.
And going through those years, this is a way of putting, I hope people will understand if they're using it because, is that just change the because. When I did, I began to say to myself, one day this will mean something. Gone through this is going to add value to other lives.
Wow.
Because I'm going through this pain, someone else will walk with less pain.
Right.
Because I'm suffering now, what I do will serve others that otherwise would suffer. I just changed the because. And I wrote these things down. These aren't thoughts I'm having now. These are thoughts I had then. I knew there had to be, you know, some more because. And if you're in business, in fact, the business that I gave you on the Life Perfect, which I can send to you or we make a link for that for people. On the other hand, there's a Business Perfect. By the way, the words I spelled out are on the P-E-R-F-E-C-T.
That was a perfect, the Life Perfect you gave us.
Yeah, and then there's the Business Perfect. So here's how you'd review your business standards. And when you review them, you first review them, and then you realize which ones are serving you and helping you to serve your customers. And then you release the ones that are not.
Okay.
And when you release things, because nature abhors a vacuum, you've got to replace them with something else.
Yes.
And often when you replace something for the first time, just like New Year's resolutions, we don't keep them going for very long. So we have to reinforce them and set ourselves up for success. Success is a setup. So when we set
I want to explore that Business Perfect
okay.
a little bit more. But let me rewind a little bit, which was about what you said about, and I love it, because what you said is you've got to understand what you came to a point where you said, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for a legacy. I'm in pain now. I know I'm suffering. I know things are not going right. But you made a decision as to, and some people call your why, the purpose of why you're doing this. And so you made that decision. So for those people who make those excuses that I can't, you change it to, why am I doing this? And why is it important for me to do this? What is the outcome down the line for me to do this? So this is, I wanted to really let that. So if you're struggling right now, what Derek is saying is what he came to the point of was the reason why he's doing this. And the reason why he's willing to sit through the pain and the suffering, knowing the suffering is only temporary. And he had a feeling that there was something bigger on the other side. He's just got to sit through it and find a way through it. So I just wanted to make sure that people got that, because that's a critical distinction. Because what I'm finding often, those people who, there are a lot of people who are too comfortable, and they say to me, I want this and I want that, but they're not willing to go through the pain or the hurdles or the obstacles to get that, whatever that is. So know your why, know the reason, the purpose behind what you're doing.
You know, and it's, and just to expand upon that, it's know your why and it's know your who.
Okay.
Who are you really?
Who are you?
Book, as you know, through the 10-second philosophy book, I talk about the true self and who we truly are. And that's the thing that's the real genius. And the fact is, you know, that we all come here into life as a 10. You're a 10. I'm a 10. Everyone listening to this, everyone watching this is a 10. We're born a 10. You know what I mean by a 10?
Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 10. If you suspend belief just for a second or two, accept that you were born a 10. You came here perfect as you could ever be. You're born a 10. But somehow life impacts you, challenges you, you listen to the wrong people, say the wrong things, get involved, life, society, social media, history, the weight of other people that lived before you, all these things means that sometimes in life we show up as a 3.
Yeah.
Or we show up as a 4. Now here's the challenge. To get the success and to be all we can be, we need to be, say, a 7 or 8. There's only 1 10, by the way, just getting that in there. There's only one guy that lived to 10. The rest of the world struggled to get us 3s and 4s and 5. You know what? If you want to change in your life and your business and you're operating at a 3 or 4, and you want to be up here dealing with 7s in your relationships, in your business, in every level, you want to be dealing with 7s and 8s. And here's a challenge you're going to face. 7s don't deal with 3s.
Right.
I wasn't there when the rules were made. I just know that that's how it is. 7s don't deal with 3s. So how we raise our standards psychologically, practically, rules, criteria, levels, changes the very perception of how we see ourselves and how the world sees us. And then these 7s go, okay, didn't see you when you were down there. Walk straight past you. Now I see you. I see you. Yeah, okay. And now we can transact because 7s deal with 7s.
I remember you telling a story about that. Tell me the story. I can't remember the story, but I think it was at a Yes group. I was there one evening and you was on stage and you told a story about that where, I think you, I don't know what it was, but you started, you wasn't going nowhere. You wasn't getting the good client. You maybe the clients were in front of you, but these people would walk past you. They walk past your desk and you weren't getting, but as your standards improved, your daily standards were improved, somehow they were attracted to you. Was there a story around there or am I dreaming this?
Well, there's a long story. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of stories. but where you're going is look, is that how we show up in our lives determines often how people see us in our lives. So if we're wandering at a three or four, we're going to get threes and fours. So give you an example of that. I began to change the quantity of clients who are seeing, not just their income, and they must come to the office. I'm not traveling anywhere anymore. You want to see me, come to the office. I lost loads of existing clients because I said to loads of other people, I'm not seeing you anymore.
Right.
Because there weren't the criteria. They're abusing my trust, abusing my service, making me see them at weekends. I said to 90% of my clients, I said, I'm not seeing you anymore. And I passed them on to people in the organization that still wanted to see those people.
Right.
Yeah. Left myself, I think, 16 clients. And look, within a year, the decision of setting those new standards on who could be a client, we must come back to the perfect for business in a minute.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I began to set that, 12 months later, Mac, the universe sends me a test, or God sent me a test, because this guy comes in, he's a multimillionaire. At that time, I keep thinking in dollars. He's worth about $12 million, so back then, 7 million quid. And, at that time, a year after me waking up, to the new true self and the new me, new standards, it was the biggest client I'd ever seen at that point.
Wow.
Of investable assets. And, we sat in that meeting, Mac, and I can tell you now, just into getting to the meeting, and this guy is talking in such a way which is quite derogatory and rude with his wife. He's talking to her in a way, I thought, oh, gosh, he's a bit harsh the way he's speaking to her. And then he began to be quite rude to her in front of me. I'm a stranger. We've just met. You spoke on the phone. You came to one of my events, but you've just met, really. But here, his wife's trying to talk. I'm asking her questions and he keeps speaking over her. And then in the end, she goes this. I'm asking her a question. She's like,
oh, really?
Just ask him because he's not letting me speak. That was her communication. And I got it. It was more than just the way he was treating her. It was like, wow, thank you, God. Because you know what? In this moment, I realized that this guy, the way he's treating her,
yeah,
I took him as my client. As
rich you're going to get the same thing.
It made my life hell.
Right.
And what he didn't know is I'd been to hell and I wasn't going back, no matter how much money the guy had. So I just kind of, I shouldn't be proud, but I'm sort of kind of quite proud of it. I just got my folder and I just thought, man, this guy, he's not my client, is he? No, he's not my client. And I got my folder, I began to close. I said, Mr. C in the book. Yeah, Mr. C, I said, based on what I've heard so far in this meeting, we're less than 20 minutes in, Mac. Based on what I've heard so far in this meeting, I can see no basis for us doing business together.
Wow, how did that go down?
Well, like this, remember, I set the new basis. And one of the things we don't appreciate is my clients must be nice people. Spending all day long with my clients. You might have money, but if you're not a nice person, if you're a real piece of work, I don't care how much money you've got, a time to prove it again and again and again, you're not getting through. Yeah, I have missed and once people have gotten to the radar, but on the whole, you're not getting through. In the moment, though, this guy, I remember, was a former banking exec, so you have no sympathy for him.
Uh-huh.
He was a very big guy, probably about 6'4", maybe 6'5", well built. And I was, I'm not even joking here. I said, so the meeting's over then. So we can, and he was, oh, a bit like Jabba the Hutt, you know, send my paperwork back, and I'll shred that for you. Of course, anything else that we find, we'll send it back to you, we'll delete the files. I said, fine. And I saw this guy at the office and with his wife, and I said, and I bid them adieu. I got back to the boardroom I was in, and Matt, both my feet left the ground as I jumped in the air and punched the air and did that because I knew that was a test about my truth and about the standard that I just set. And I knew it was sort of a test to see if you're dangling enough in front of you. You go the old way. Will you betray your truth and your true self? And I was jumping off the air because I just lost a massive deal because it wasn't right. for me. And that's what's going to happen. The world will challenge you. Because you set new standards, you can expect the world to challenge that. You can expect the world and people around you to teach old standards. Why? Because that's what they've been used to. So you need to be patient or not have those people or those customers or those clients in our life. You get to choose here.
Wow. I mean, that is a great example. And that leads us to the business perfect. It's a great example because, like you said, daily standards are so important. And I remember in all areas of my life where I've created standards, there's always been challenging situations. Give you a simple one, for example. 4 years ago, working with my coach, I decided to become a pure plant-based eater, right? Because, so I'm pure vegan, plant-based. Last 4 years been the same. I haven't faltered. But very earlier on, because if you told me that, hey, Mac, you'll stop eating chicken and fish and all that, I said, you're crazy. I love all that stuff, right? But what would happen is when we went to restaurants with friends or I was at parties, there's the cake, there's the chicken. And I'd say, well, it's not for me. And people look at me funny. Come on, it's not going to make a difference. It's not for me. Thank you. So those are the challenges that come, whether it's to do with your health, your fitness, the food, your nutrition, your business. I love the examples. Thank you. Let's go straight into the business. Yeah, go on.
Okay. So there's seven areas that we can each review, and we could do the same thing. We're going to get a pen or iPad. We're going to write down seven areas that if we adjust the one, two, or three of these areas that impact us the most, we change the whole trajectory of our lives. So the P in business is your products and services. Each of these is a module on its own and it's a workshop. Right. So you get the point. Okay. We have to review and say to ourselves, what are our products and service standards? How do we get them? What was the source of that? That used to serve us, okay. Does it serve us now? In fact, does it serve us now? And those we wish to serve as our customers and clients, okay. What can we replace it with if it doesn't serve? If it serves, keep it, keep that standard. Right. If it doesn't serve, what can we replace that product, service, material, time, production, delivery? What can we shift that to? And then most importantly, because we're human, we have to then reinforce, how do we set it up so we can fail less in the delivery and maintenance of that standard? So products and services. Then we have to look at the environment, as in, I don't literally mean the environment, but for some businesses, it is the environment. Yeah. We have to look at what's the environment like in our offices, in our home, in the space that we work in, and is that conducive and productive to work? We know about Hertzberg. And go and Google Hertzberg, you look at the factors and how productivity waxes and wanes when the environment shifts. So then we have to look at our relationships, that's the R, our internal relationships with our employees, our external stakeholders. How do we manage that process so that we can have much more power as a business, the same business with engaged employees and engaged stakeholders and engaged shareholders and engaged customers? But companies like Equitable, they mastered this years and years ago, which I mentioned in my book, and I interviewed the head of the HR and the CEO there. They're all about, what are our standards here? And they use that, they changed their strap line, I'm going to go in 2007, I think it may have been, to redefining standards. Because they knew how important it was. Not let's set new goals, it was actually
redefining standards.
Standards. And if you go to any of their documentation, then the old documentation, you'll see right there on the strap line, redefining, they knew what he meant. And I know the guys that were in charge about that. So we look at the relationships with ourselves and externally, our employees, our team. And when you set standards, it isn't some autocratic, you must do this. There's a process of, we work with SMEs and of course corporates to say, how do you begin the conversation? How to help people to understand what's going on and why they're doing what? It's not another bunch of KPIs. This is much more about how do we do what we do and why do we do it? And can we review, are we willing to review? That may have been the case when we were founded, but we do it now because? Oh, because we were founded, that's when we did it. So how about you have a look at that then? So relationships, I mean, you have the financial, most businesses, as you know, fail in those first few years. What are the financial standards? What we put in place by way of monitoring and setting it up so we have the right financial standards in place? I know this happens to corporates, but it's the same with an SME. or self-employed sole trader, you've got to have the right financial standards in there around your money so that you stay in business, so you retain the right to serve. If you lose your business, you lose the right to serve. So the finances, key to any business, they can't ignore it. Even charities are, I'm an ambassador for a charity. We've got to get the money to serve those people we want to serve. And then after the finance, you've got the executive leadership, which is clear, you know, leadership standards, executive standards, plenty of examples around the world right now around having the right standards in executive and leadership. Yeah. And the C is the cause. I'm not talking about a mission statement stuck on a wall in reception that no one can remember, because what's the chance of it, of utilizing and living by that if you can't even remember it? What is the cause? Going back to the kind of, you mentioned earlier on about the why. What is the cause? Why are we here? What are we doing here? Yeah. Someone says to me, can you help me with my business? I've got a new idea for a business. I want to set it up. I want to go with it. I want to do it. Why do you want to do this? I want to make lots of money. No. Why do you really want to do it? I want to make lots of money. Now, let me explain. I know you make lots of money. What do you really want to do this? Well, I want to make lots of money. Okay. Next. So what's the cause and purpose? What standards? What are they? And then the last is training and transparency.
Yeah. Okay.
We've got to have the right quality of training so we can make sure all the rest stacks up and stands up and is deliverable by the team, the people that work with us. And the transparency is clear. We've never had to be more transparent in our lives. Yeah. And those companies that try to hide their emissions or try to hide, you know, like Volkswagen, or try to hide their charges, or trying to hide their political decisions, or the politicians that tried to hide what they did with the money, you know, all these lead to trouble later on down the line, just when you didn't expect it, just when you didn't want it.
Yeah.
So that's the seven perfect. I can send this stuff across.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. I mean, we could go on. I know there's so much you can share, but I know everyone's busy and we're coming up to the top of the hour now. So it's been incredible. I mean, you've really explained daily standards from a notion that someone saying or looking at daily standards, but when you drill it down and start utilizing it, the effect or the butterfly effect it has is absolutely immense. So I want to say thank you for all of that. So thank you for sharing your amazing knowledge and your experience and your background and your history and where you are now and who you've been helping. Now, if someone wants to, they've got a lot of people listening, they want to learn more from you or they want to connect with you, what's the easiest way? What's the best thing for them to do?
Yeah, the first best thing to do is go to dailystandards.com.
Dailystandards.com.
You can register, go to email, or just email me. Email me at Derek@dailystandards.com.
So Derek@dailystandards.com?
Okay. Yeah, because then you can ask a more specific question. And we'll do our best to help. I've got a team of coaches and consultants and mentors. We'll do our best to help. But if you send it to me, I know you've come through Mac. And just, you know, begin to get curious. Oh, by the way, I've got to mention the book.
Yes.
The book is the 10-second philosophy.
Yeah. The 10-second philosophy.
10-second philosophy, because in there's so much more than the Mac and I can share in just a space of, you know, 59 minutes or so. So, but since the book is written, I've learned so much more in terms of the research and then the training and the experience with corporates. So, you know, just get in touch and see what we can do to help. That's the best thing to do. Derek@dailystandards.com. or subscribe to dailystandards.com.
Yeah, so you've heard it from Derek Mills. It's been amazing to spend time with you, Derek. I know we have a lot of similar values in terms of family, in terms of business, in terms of wealth. So that's amazing. I do highly recommend you connect with Derek. The first time I connected with him, I thought this guy knows his stuff, and not someone who grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, but is actually going through the struggle and the failures and turn that around. And he advises people and corporates and small businesses on how to improve. So connect with Derek, dailystandards.com or Derek@dailystandards. Check out the book, the 10-second philosophy as well, published by Hay House. So check that out. So Derek, God bless you.
God bless you, man.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring, keep changing lives, keep helping people the way you do. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
God bless you. Thanks, Mac.
You're welcome.